Bibles up to Luke chapter number 2. I told you this past Sunday morning that one of the good parts of a good message or a good sermon is a good introduction that tries to get people's attention. So tonight I'm going to try something a little bit different when it's an introduction. It's Christmas Eve. It's a little bit different, a little bit special. So I'm wondering if Allison Bateman, will you come here please? So we chose Allison because Allison has a birthday in a couple of days. And I had some questions about birthdays and see if Allison can help me out here. Mrs. Frank's birthday is tomorrow, but she's not here tonight. Can you get up in the chair there? Mr. Rick, can you turn this on so she can give her answers?
So you can stand up if you like to so they can see you.
You want to stand so they can see you? Are you scared? You'll be okay. Do you want to do this? You got it. It's easy. Okay, Allison, when's your... I'll come over here so I don't mess up with the microphone. I guess that's... There you go. Okay, Allison. When is your birthday?
December 27th.
And that's in how many days? Three? Two and a half? Something like that. You count it three, but she's thinking it's only 2.5 days away. And Allison, you're going to turn 4 or 5 this year? I know, you're 6, aren't you? Or are you 7?
I'm going to turn 7.
You're going to turn 7? Man, I still remember when Allison was a little baby. So, man, she's gotten big and she's done a good job. Now, Allison, here's the thought. I don't know if you have a birthday planned or not, but do you like birthday parties?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's the thought here for you. Let's say that everybody in the front two rows, you got the Westbrook here, the Bowmans, the Fires, the Swains, Mr. Tillett, Elijah, my wife and Christian all come to a birthday party for you. That sound like fun? I don't know. They don't sound like very much fun to me, but. Okay. Now, here at the birthday party, they come, and when they come to your birthday, they come and they come to your house. You got balloons up, you got streamers, you got a cake inside the refrigerator or inside the kitchen. And when they get there, nobody talks to you. They talk to one another, but not to you. Would that seem like a very good birthday party for you?
Yes, sir.
That would make you happy, would it? Don't you agree that would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? Okay, now, what's one of the best things about a birthday party?
Presents.
She got it right. And Allison didn't even know she was coming up here, and she got it right. Now, they break out the presents. So, you know, that makes it okay, because who cares who they talk to as long as they give you a present, right? Well, they take the presents they have, and instead of giving it to you, they give it to each other. What would you think about that?
Not fun.
That is not fun at all. That's a pretty miserable, lame birthday party, right? You wouldn't want to do that again, would you?
No, sir.
No. Thank you, Allison. That's all I had the question for you. Let's hear it for Allison. Now, some of you older people might understand what that was about, but I knew there were going to be a number of kids here tonight. You know, when we celebrate Christmas and we forget all about celebrating Christ's birth, you know, lots of times people will actually go and they'll go somewhere where something's decorated and they say they're celebrating Jesus' birth, but they never take time to talk to him. I mean, that would be a pretty lousy birthday party if, you know, they had somebody that they say is for you and this is all about you, and then when they come to your house, and instead of talking to you or spending time with you, what do they spend time with? One another. And I'm wondering how much different that is on Christmas when we say that we're celebrating Christ's birth and we spend no time in prayer, we spend no time in Bible reading, and we spend no time talking with Christ and just spending time with Him. I think it was this past, maybe a couple Tuesdays ago, we had a senior luncheon, and Mr. Greger was a speaker that day. And he spoke about spending time with the Lord. And I thought that was, the Lord spoke to my heart about it. And the idea here was that, you know, God is there and He's waiting to spend time with us. And many times we disappoint Him because we don't fellowship with Him. Don't get me wrong, God doesn't need our fellowship, but God desires our fellowship. Yeah. He sent His Son down on the cross to die for us so He could spend time with us and fellowship with us. He walked with Adam in the garden. There is fellowship that God desires from us. And you know what? Many times we just don't spend time with Him. So, title of tonight's message is Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? Also, this idea of presents, you know, the idea that giving gifts to one another instead of giving gifts to the person that is the most important, the person we're celebrating. Now, you say, Pastor, you're just trying to get us to give more money. We're not even taking an offering tonight, so you can't be right about that. So I thought that at least some more people would laugh than that. So you talk about money, nobody laughs at the jokes, so that's okay. Luke chapter number 2, let's look here in verses 1 through 20, and then we're going to focus in on that thought. And I know from the title you probably figured out where we're going with this, that there was no room in the inn for Jesus. And there's three things I want you to look at tonight. Why people have no room, why we need to make room, and most importantly, us as Christians here celebrate a lot of Christmases, how do we make room for Jesus? We don't want to just show you the need, because there is a great need for us to take our focus off of others and our presence. And once again, we can enjoy those things, and I enjoy those things also, but if our focus and our center is supposed to be on Christ during Christmas time, how we can do that? Because I think that's a loss. That's lost many times. You know, we tell people, we need to focus on Christ. We need to focus on Christ. We need to focus on Christ. How do we do that? And tonight, in the last point, we're going to look at that. And let's look here in Luke chapter 1. We're going to read all the way verses 1 through 20 just to get a good picture of the Christmas story. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. After this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went up to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." So we understand the story. They took this long journey. They went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And as they're taking this long, painstaking journey, you see here that the days are accomplished. It means that she's getting ready to have the baby. And in verse number 7, it says that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And that next phrase, because there was no room for them in the inn. Meaning the inn was too full, probably because of the census. And, you know, we've heard stories and traditions about the innkeeper saying he did not have room and different things like that. We're not going to dive too much in there because I think you get the point and the idea of the message. There was no room in the inn for Christ. And many times people crowd Christ out of his birthday. People take Christ and don't even consider him during Christmas time. And that's sad. But it's sad also that we do not put Christ into our lives every day of the year. We become so busy, become so worked up with all the things that are going on because of worry, because of greed sometimes, because of sin. We push Christ right out of our lives and we don't have room for him. And that's the idea tonight. Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? Let's keep on going. We're going to read verses 8 through 20 so we can just finish your story here. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid." And that, remember, that was my the best sermon illustration ever, was when the angels preached that message to the shepherds. Boy, what a sermon illustration. They got their attention and they did not take their eyes. They listened to every word that was said. Let's see what the angel says. "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, that's exciting, that, you know, the fact that he was our Savior. But do you even understand that as Christ the Lord, that this was God that became our Savior? And what a wonderful thought. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord have made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And verse 18 says, And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Man, what a wonderful story. I know many of us are going to be looking at that story tomorrow morning, even before maybe you open up your presents or before you eat breakfast. Sometimes that is a great way to put Christ-centered into our Christmas. Well, I don't think we can stop there. It's what it's in our heart and what's in our mind. Let's look here once again in verse number 7. For she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm just wondering, do we have room for Christ in our lives? You say, of course I have room. He's God. He's Jesus. How much time did you spend with him today? I mean, let's just be honest. The 24th is probably one of the busiest days of the year. Some of you had to work today. I was here at work today most of the day. Some of you had many, many things. Some of you wait till the last minute to go Christmas shopping. That's great. It's much easier if you get it done ahead of time, but whatever you got to do. Some are visiting family. Some are visiting friends. Some got a lot of different things. So if we were going to say, do we have enough room for Christ in our lives? Let's ask this question. How much time did you spend with him today? I know you're saying, Pastor, you're preaching at us. It's Christmas Eve. It's 7:30 and we're here at church. Don't we get any type of benefit for that? I understand. You're where you're supposed to be. I get that. I understand that. But how about for the rest of the days? How about the rest of our times? Do we really make enough room for him? First point is why people have no room. The first thing I want you to see is because they don't know who he is. They don't know who he is. And you can picture the story, and I'm not going to embellish it because of time's sake and because we've all heard it before, but he goes and he maybe knocks on the door and the inn looks different back then, and the way that they had it was all set up, and they go and you can imagine it's filled to the brim with people that are there for the census, and they come to the inn and he says, we don't have any room. He says, well, my wife's expecting and she needs a place to have the babe. The baby's coming. He says, look, I've turned away so many people already. We have no room for anyone. And here, that's what the Bible's saying. There was just no room. Now, the first thing you think about, there was why people have no room for Christ is because they don't know who he is. Now, if this man who was a Jew, who had been looking for the Messiah for his family, his lineage had been looking for the Messiah for all these years, knew that that was God in that womb and knew that that was the Messiah and believed that that was the Messiah, you know what? He would have said, here, come on in. He would have said, hey, you can have my room. I mean, he would have just said, hey, look, there's a spot, there's a room. He would have kicked somebody out of the place. He would have went and said, hey, look, we need to make room for this woman because of who Jesus Christ is. This is Christ. You know, there's some people out there just that don't have any time or make any room for Christ in their lives or even Christ in their hearts because they don't know who he is. And, you know, here's the thought is that there are a lot of people in this world today that do not know who Jesus Christ is. And I'm not just talking about the millions that are out there and even billions that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, that don't have churches on every corner. I'm talking about the people you come in contact and pass with every day who think of Jesus as just some little babe in that manger scene that just has something to do with Christmas. That was God and that was our Savior. They don't know to worship him because they don't know who Jesus is. And I think the innkeeper didn't let him in because of the fact that they did not realize who he was. Reminds me of a cute story. I know you've probably heard it before. I like this story. Those deals of Black Friday shopping. We know all the long lines that come of Black Friday shopping. Hear the story of this poor man who tries his way to get in. He pulls up to the store about 10 minutes before the store opens, and he's trying to get his way to the front door. He is pushed. He is kicked back. He is thrown back to the crowd. He tries a second time. He tries to weave his way in. He's trying to get all the way up to front, and they throw him out again, and they push him back, and they push him back. And the third time, he says, now listen, if you don't let me up, I will not open up the doors and let you in to buy the presents you want. It was the store owner, and they didn't get it. They didn't understand. But they wouldn't let him in because of the fact they didn't know who he was. And the truth is, there are so many people in the world that do not know who Christ is, and we have pushed him out of our times and our lives and our testimonies and our talking and in our speech, and they don't know who Christ is because we don't show them Christ in our lives. Now, that's why some people don't have room. Another reason why some people don't have room is because they don't realize they need him. They don't realize they need him. I begin thinking a little bit that there's some people that you don't see at the stable or you don't see at the manger scene. And Luke chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this, in this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." These are, think about some of the people who do not see at the manger scene that had an opportunity. Now, I know you can go back. Was the wise men there or was the wise men not? We've talked about that already this year. But Herod knew about it. But you know what? The wicked, they don't realize they have a need. King Herod was a very, very wicked man. If you go back and listen in history, you know, it talks about Herod had heard these things. He was troubled with all and all Jerusalem with him. You know, some people realize they don't realize they have a need, and that's why they don't make any room for him. The wicked people of the world today do not realize they have a need, and they do not make a room for Christ. Think about also religious people. In the same story, when the wise men come to town, it says, "And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Who are the chief priests and the scribes of today? These are the religious leaders. They hear the story about these wise men. How many we don't know. We know they brought three gifts. They come to the scene. The whole city's in a stir. The whole city's in a fearful. And they come and Herod brings them in and says, "Okay, these men say that they come to worship the King of the Jews. Now, where was he supposed to be born?" I'm sure the wise men had told him about the story. I'm sure the wise men had told him about the long trip. You would think that these scribes and these religious leaders and these chief priests, after they told him that he's in Bethlehem, would have got on their donkeys or got on their camels or got on something and followed the wise men till they found Jesus Christ. But see, they don't have any room for Jesus. They're religious. They're satisfied and happy with doing work in the name of God and not changing their schedules at all. They're interested in their rituals, but not interested in worshiping. See, sometimes we've got to remember this, that the religious people just don't make room for Jesus because they don't think they need him. And we've got to be careful, Christians and believers, even people that are here. We become so busy doing good things sometimes, we don't take time to worship. You think about Mary and Martha, the story. Martha was cumbered about Mary. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. She did what was important. She took the time to worship. She did not have to be cumbered about with all these other things. Was Martha doing good things? Yes. And you can be about doing good things. But if you want to let room for Christ to be in your heart, you're going to have to understand it's not about the things we do. It's about the person we do it for. And if we lose this idea of making room for him and worshiping and spending time with him, you know what? We can miss the whole point of it. It's like pushing Christ out of Christmas. It's like pushing Christ out of our lives when he's already saved us. Last but not least on why people have no room is because some people just don't care. You ever met somebody like that? Maybe they're morally good, or they're not wicked like Herod, and they just don't care. That reminds me of the innkeeper. The innkeeper, he had to see what was going on back there. You know, these shepherds coming by, and you see all the star and all this, you know, but we don't see him ever at the manger scene. There are some people out there in the world that just don't care. So why do some people not make room? Why is some of the reasons why we're not going to make room for Christ today is because of the fact, number one, is some people just don't know who he is. And secondly, because some people don't realize they need him. Second point is, why we need to make room for him. Us as Christians, why should we make room for Jesus? First point is because he's worthy. You know, I can't imagine anything that he's not worthy of. The Bible puts it in Revelation chapter number 4. He opens up that scene of the heavenly scene, and the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know what? We need to make room for Christ, or need to make room for Jesus, is because he is worthy. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." We can't outgive God. We can't do too much. We can't serve too much. We can't praise him too much. We can't worship him too much. There is just no limit to what he deserves. He is our God. But he also, remember, it blows our mind that God became a man and he lived this life and he died for our sins. And then he offers us a gift of salvation for free. I mean, that is just mind-blowing that God would leave and become a man and to be rejected by man, to be crucified and to pay such a great and precious price and then say, here is the gift of salvation. It is a free gift of eternal life. That's amazing. So why do we need to make room for him? Number one, it's because he's worthy. The second thing is something I think we forget sometimes is because we need him. Think about it. We need God. I mean, in our lives, we need God. Now, we easily think of making room for Christ. And some of you might have been thinking, you know what? I should make a little bit more room for Jesus. You know what? And sometimes we think about it in a patronizing way. Yeah, he is God. He does deserve a little bit more. Maybe I'll give him a couple more minutes. But we miss the whole point. We need God. We need God in our lives. We often fail to recognize the fact that it's not God who needs us in fulfillment by fulfilling some part of our lives. We reject or ignore Christ. We are excluding the one who came to give us the love of the Father and the only one who can fill the empty places in our lives with purposeful meaning. We don't realize what we're missing when we don't make room for him. We don't realize what we are leaving out when we miss church. But more importantly, we don't realize when we don't make time for him and allow him into our lives and fellowshipping around his word and spending time alone with him in prayer and with the songs and with meditations and memorization of scriptures. You know, we don't realize what we're missing. So many times says, yes, this world needs a change. This world needs to put Christ back into Christmas. And don't you love that sign on 17? That RO, whatever it was, there's a huge sign that says, put Christ back into Christmas. It's on a big billboard. I'm thankful for that sign. And I agree with that. But we need to learn to make time for him. We need to realize that we have a great need. Remember in Galatians, we've been looking at it. And this past year, went through the book of Galatians. And remember what he said in John 15:5. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything spiritual without God. The Bible says, if this I say, then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you have any hope of producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you know, any of those fruits of the Spirit, it comes from abiding in the Spirit and abiding in him. The Bible says, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, look, without my help, you are not going to be the Christian you want to be. You're not going to be the Christian that we saved you to be, we intended you to be. I know we have these desires. I want to live for God. I want to do what's right. I want this. I want this. You need God. And this is the reason why we need to make room for him. This is the reason why we need to make time for him. This is why he needs to become a preeminence in our lives. And it needs to become the most important in our lives. And I know it's Christmas Eve, but you know, the innkeeper had no room for Jesus. I'm so worried about the people today. We become so busy, we have no room for him. And we need to make room for him because he's worthy and because we need him. And last but not least, and this is the kind of how-to, it's how to make room for Jesus. I know last Wednesday night I preached a message and asking the question, are we really truly worshiping Christ? And I know most of you weren't out here. I mean, there was people in the back and there's some that are visiting. But just a couple thoughts here. How to make room for Christ. First thing I want you to think about is by being obedient. You know, I went through these stories and the Christmas stories, and we've preached a lot of messages already. And I've been a pastor here for almost 6 years now, and 5 Christmases already. You know, there's a lot of different things, but you see the people that God is using, they're obedient. And what real true worship is when people are just willing simply to be obedient. Say, how do I put Christ first in Christmas? You obey him. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you remember Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She's saying, Lord, I'm willing to be obedient. Lord, if this is from you, it's whatever you want. And here's the point. If you're not obedient, guess what happens? That disobedience pushes Christ right out. You can't fellowship with him with sin in your life. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear from me. So if we want to make room for Christ, the first thing we need to do, if we really truly want to worship Christ this Christmas, it's not about giving a better, bigger gift. It's not about being at a Christmas Eve service. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's first and foremost being obedient. Some obedience might be one of those things what he's speaking to us. But how do we make room for Christ? It's by being obedient. And as I look at the Christmas story, I see that. Second thing, not only is about being obedient, it's by having a heart of worship. Having a heart's desire. It's from the inside. Now, we can show a lot from the outside. We can look good. Well, some of us can look good. Some of us struggle with that. We can dress up good. We can do this and that. And we can compend to what? We can wear the biggest Christmas button. We can put up the biggest sign. We can have the biggest cantata. But you know what? When Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," you know what she had? She had a heart for worship. Her desire was to worship. That this idea of the soul, it talks about, refers to her psyche, the center of her emotion, the center of her reason, the conscious awareness of oneself. It, all she's saying is, all that is within me is, my soul does magnify the Lord. My soul, it's overwhelming, it's overbubbling because it's coming from the inside. This is, if we really truly want to worship Christ this Christmas, if we truly want to make room, we need to say, first of all, I need to be obedient, because I'm not going to make room for Christ by having sin in my life and having things that's stopping Him from being able to come and speak and fellowship with me. The Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." If we're going to have the heart of worship, we need to make Christ the preeminence. So that in that all things, He might have the preeminence. And when we give God our heart, He will have the preeminence in our life, and we will make plenty of room for Him. But it's when we allow idols and other things to come unto our heart and compete with Him, we push Him out the door. Instead of taking Him and putting Him on our throne, we keep on pushing Him little by little by little out the door. And that's what I'm afraid happens many times at Christmas time. You know, we start off with this one tradition. We go visit this family. And then we go visit this family. And then we go visit this friend. And then we go do this and we go do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we plan so much that we look back at the end of the day and say, how much time did I spend with Christ today? Talking about Him. Relishing over Him. Enjoying Him. Mary was saying, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." With everything that was in her. Another thing, and we need to move quickly here, is you want to worship Christ this Christmas, or make room for Him, by being obedient, by having a heart of worship, and by proclaiming the message of the babe. By proclaiming the message of the babe. Look at verses 16 and 17. I know I brought this out at our Christmas banquet, but this is one of the things that I thought was kind of new for me this year as I was studying. I don't know how many times I've read Luke chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17. But I thought this was really great when it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary," this is talking about the shepherds, "and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And the thing that amazes me, the thing that was new for me was, you know what? They didn't talk about the angels. They didn't talk about the one that scared them. They didn't talk about the multitude that had come. And man, that was an amazing thing to talk about. Wouldn't it have been? I mean, wouldn't that have been great to think that the angel of the Lord came and appeared, and then they had this multitude of angels there singing and filling up the sky? But what is the thing that they proclaimed? What is the thing they made most of? Look what it says at the end of verse number 17. It says, "that saying which was told them concerning this child." That's what they cared about. They wanted to tell the world about Jesus. If you're going to tell other people about Christ this Christmas, you're going to be making room for Christ. You're going to be making room. It's when we don't tell others about Him and that we get frustrated. When we know we're supposed to talk about Him, when we know we're supposed to invite somebody else, we become timid and we get discouraged by it. And no longer do we make the room for Him because we think He's unpleased with us or displeased with us. But when we tell others about Him, when we see God work, we're willing to make room for Him. You think about our cantata this past Sunday night. Boy, that was great. I think that if you were in the service and you didn't get blessed, there's something wrong with your blesser. I mean, whatever you want to say. There's something wrong there. You know, and I bet you people walked out of here saying, you know what? They had plenty of room in their heart for Christ. You don't want to know why? It's because they went out and they invited people and our auditorium was filled. We had people respond to the message and people get saved and people, and this was what church, you know, this, we were excited about it. And people were walking away. This was a great day. This was a great night. God worked. God moved. You know, everyone's heart is open then because there was much made about Christ. And that's when there's room for Him, is when we're willing to tell people about the babe. Show Christ. Make much of Christ. That's when there's going to be. So I think by proclaiming the message of Christ or the babe is another way we can make room for Him. If you're talking about Christ, guess what? You're not talking about something else. If you're talking about Christ, you're making room for Him because you're not talking about something else. We got just a few more. Number 4, by giving thanks. I say, "Pastor, it's not Thanksgiving, it's Christmas." Boy, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. I'm not just talking about being thankful for the gifts. I'm talking about being thankful for the greatest gift. You know, so many times when we complain, we do not make room for Christ because of our bitterness. So if we want to make room for Christ this year, I think we need to learn to be thankful. We look at all the situation, all the things that are going on and saying, Lord, this might have been a tough year. And I know it was a tough year for some of you. This was hard here and this was hard here. But when we have bitterness in our heart, guess what we're doing? We're pushing Christ out. But when we clean up the bitterness, when we start being obedient, and when we make room for Him, I want you to look at verses 26, 36 and verses 38. This is a special lady here named Anna. And you see what she does in verses 36 and 38. It says, which was the son of Canaan? Let's see here. Did I get that right? No, I'm in chapter 3. Chapter number 2, verses 36 and 38. And there was one Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. Now, she was of a great age. You know, that's something you could be unthankful about. Man, you're old. Things hurt. You know, that's what happens. And had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Talk about she had lost her husband 84 years earlier. Look what's in verse 37. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers at night and day. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of them to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You know what? This woman had lost her husband 84 years ago. She served the Lord night and day with fastings and prayers. She made a lot of room for Jesus. Yeah. But you see what she does when she sees the babe? It says that she thanked Him. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. I think this Christmas season, if we will consider Him, we'll make room for Him. If we're thankful for what He has done, we'll make room. We'll open our heart wide when we reflect and just out of a heart of adoration and that we'll reflect and say, Lord, I'm just so thankful for what You did. The Bible says, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Those people that have no room for Christ in their hearts because they've let bitterness or they've let other things get in their heart and get in their ways. They've forgotten what Christ has done. They forget to consider. And that's what it's saying. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied. You do get wearied. You do get faint in your mind. You can push Him right out of your Christmas. You can push Him right out of your life if you will stop giving thanks. Oh, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm talking about being thankful for Him. Because when you're thankful for Him, you'll see when everything comes into your lives, you'll realize that God is in control. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's tough, but He's the one we're thankful for what He's done and for what He's given us. Two more. And I like this next one, because sometimes at Christmas time is not the case. By being satisfied. And that's similar to giving thanks, but I want to break them up. By being satisfied. As I look through the Christmas story, I see people who are satisfied with serving the Lord. You think about Mary and Joseph. They were both had a great reputation. And, you know, they were satisfied that God had turned their life upside down. You think about the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias. Actually, why don't you take your Bible back to Luke chapter number 1. And I love this story. I know you heard me preach about it either last year or the year before. In Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And this is a story. This is describing Zacharias and Elizabeth here. And listen to their testimony. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Wow, that's a great testimony. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Back then, that was not a good thing, not having children. That was looked down upon. That's not the case today, and it's always in God's hands. We always got to remember to put it in God's hands. But look in verse number 13. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, I'm thinking that Elizabeth and Zacharias, as a young couple, were praying for a son. And they prayed for it. And they prayed for it. They didn't get what they had asked for. But according to their testimony in verse number 6, they were satisfied in serving God. Look what it says. They were righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were serving God even though they didn't get what they want. I mean, how many of us are really, truly going to be satisfied even though we don't get what we want? Tomorrow, you know, it's not about the presents. It's not about opening up the presents. And, you know, sometimes I see young people or even adults that get disappointed when they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had room for Christ because they were satisfied when God said, He does not want me to have a child. I'm okay with that. I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to make room for him. I'm going to be satisfied no matter what whatever he brings in my life. That's what Mary said. The handmaiden of the Lord. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. You think about it. You think about the story of Simeon. And you look at it, the Lord led him. When we are satisfied with what God has given us, we then leave our hearts open to his direction and his will for our lives. But when we are full of worry, full of greed, full of envy, full of jealousy, guess where our thoughts are not on? They're not on Christ. When we're not satisfied and we're always wanting more and desiring more, what are we doing? We're pushing him out. We're not making room for him. Last but not least, by not letting any obstacles get in your way of worshiping or presenting your gifts. And we talked about that in the wise men and their worship. We saw in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11, and when they were coming to the house. We preached a sermon about this, not this past Sunday, the Sunday before that. They followed a star and found the shack. You know, the wise men made all that trip expecting that Christ was going to be in a palace. But instead they find this little house. They have a choice. They can be disgusted and turn around and walk away. And they had tons of obstacles. We're talking about a long trip. We're talking about great financial things, probably leaving their family behind. This was a huge trip, a huge sacrifice, and to get to a place, and it was not what they thought it was going to be. Obstacles came up. They had to go to Herod. They had to go there. Obstacles came up on this trip, but they did not let anyone stop them from worshiping or giving their gifts. And it says that they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you know what? I think that's wonderful. And I'm glad tonight that we're not taking an offering, because I'd like to make a little comment. It's past Sunday, and I never know who gives. I don't check the giving records. But we had a great offering. I mean, it was wonderful. And Ms. Sharon had told me that some people were giving their Christmas gifts, in a sense, to Jesus. Some people even marked that. You know what? Those were people that were trying to make room for Jesus. Those are people who said, you know what, I know this and I'm excited about this. But as excited as I was about the adult offering, you know, the children's offering this past week was really, really good too. You know what, I was really thankful for that. Because I know that not many, if any, of our people at our church aren't very wealthy. And many of our children obviously aren't very wealthy either. But this time of year, when it's so focused on self that we have one of our best offerings, even in our children's department, I think that's people making room for Christ. You know, even though it's a hard time, and even though it's sometimes a straining time on people, people saying, I'm not going to let anything stop me from worshiping. And worshiping is a portion of giving too. And so I don't hammer this home all the time, but the Bible speaks much about our gifts and speaks much about giving up our time, our talents, and our treasures. So I'm saying let Christ lead you and guide you. And it doesn't even have to be giving to the church. There's many different ways that you can please Christ with your resources. Mm-hmm. Let Christ lead and direct you. So, why do people not make room? Some just don't know who Jesus is. Some don't realize they need him. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need Christ. He came to this world to die for us, gave his life for us. And if you do not know Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that you are headed to a horrible place called hell. The Christmas story is completely about how Christ saw our need, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for him. He came to this world to pay for your sin debt and my sin debt. He wasn't obligated to. He did it because we had a need. Not because he had a need, but because he loved us. But remember, we learned that Sunday night, he doesn't save us by his love. He saves us by his grace. By the act of love, God is able to demonstrate with his grace and mercy a way of salvation. But you must accept that. You must receive that. If you've never done that before, don't leave this room without doing that. Make room in his heart. Make room in your heart for him tonight. And to those that are believers in the room, why do we need to make room? He deserves it. If anybody deserves our worship, anybody deserves our time, our talents, our resources, our treasures, if anybody deserves our praise, if anybody deserves to be the preeminence, it is him. He deserves it. But also, it's because we need him. We are never going to be the Christian that we need to be and that we desire to be without him and without this book. We have a desperate need. I need him and you need him. When we push him out of our lives, we will not accomplish near as much. I even wonder if we'll accomplish anything without Him. Last but not least, how do we do that? We begin by being obedient. If there's something in your life that you're saying, I know it's wrong, I just don't want to change, if you really want to make room for Him, it begins with being obedient. And you continue on being obedient. And there's other things we learned about having a heart for worship, telling people about Christ by giving thanks, by being satisfied. And then when you make the decision to do all those things, don't let any obstacle stop you. Even though you might be thinking that you're doing God's will and then you come across a shack or a hard time or don't understand, in the shacks of life, we still render our gifts. We still recognize God in the shacks of life. And we still receive His grace. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. We are